Alan.
Grez.
Here. And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on a podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast, where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And welcome to a new season of Rise of the Robots, as this week we begin our coverage of Robot Wars Extreme Warriors Season 2. So there's two kind of famous things about this series. One is one of the episodes features the debut of something that I think is going to be a topic of discussion. Grizz has now looked at the list of episodes and has realized what I'm talking about.
Daddy just had a remember.
Yes.
Oh, it came early.
It wasn't the first one. Because apparently this
you
was taped beforehand.
Shit.
I think this was before. This was actually the first time it was seen, which tells you a lot. That tells you how many people watched this show that people didn't know. Because this aired way before Robot Wars Season 6.
Mm-hmm.
Like, quite significantly before. Also, I think this is what we're starting to see here now is this is getting towards the end of the first era of robot combat on TV. You know, we've just come off the end of BattleBots, Robotica's got its last season, and this is the last season of Robot Wars, because even though it was still the second highest rated show on TNN behind WWE, it lost over 1 million viewers.
Nice.
As a percentage, it managed to lose a higher percentage of its audience viewers than a certain wrestling company announcing that they'd fired one of their biggest draws.
CM Punk. CM Punk.
Oh, look at that. That's 20% of the ratings down the Swanee.
Well,
turns out that when you have a volatile member of staff and you let him near other volatile members of staff, shit happens. Particularly when you sit and you do nothing about it for a fucking year.
Yeah, that's why we started podcasting over Skype, because every time we got together, I just repeatedly punched Alan in the face.
Yes, especially when I insisted that we had to record on a glass table, real glass table.
Cry me a river. Well, you started it, so I'm not taking responsibility for this one. Anybody wants to call me a prick online, just remember, Alan started it.
And Alan can edit this shit out.
No, you won't.
I know I won't.
Good. Goodbye. Anyway, we digress.
Unfortunately, we're not talking about the episode because... Right.
We don't want to.
Extreme Series 2. I can see why it lost over 1 million watches from the previous season.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, also, just to make this clear, this series still drew higher ratings than BattleBots.
How?
Probably because it's on a better network. I mean, you have to remember it's on TNN, which is what later becomes Spike TV.
Spike.
Though, ironically, now here's something that I didn't realise. Do you know which of the three shows had the highest ratings at this point? Robotica.
Okay, I was going to say.
Robotica actually outdrew both Robot Wars and BattleBots in America.
That is balderdash.
Yes, and yet more people were still watching Robot Wars in the UK than any of these shows.
Like, maybe even combined?
Not combined, I think. They were, they'd lost a lot of ratings relative to this point already. But I'm sure that certainly in Series 6 they were still doing kind of millions of views. It doesn't actually have the ratings information, so maybe not. It's not hard to see, because despite the fact that we have several really quite professional teams, despite the fact that there is very often at least one robot, you're like, no, I could see that on Series 5, Series 6 Robot Wars.
Yep.
So many of these robots are bad. I don't know how many of them, because one team mentions, oh, we built this in 5 days. So I don't know if it's partially a management problem.
Because we should probably mention that this season of Extreme Warriors is significantly bigger than last season was.
Yes. So because they've actually got a proper championship now.
Yeah, it's a proper tournament this year. Like, we have, like, what, 8 heats, I think, maybe?
8 heats in the grand final.
Yeah. So it's not just, oh, we're just going to get 46 robots and whittle them down to one in 45 minutes.
Yeah. So our presenters are Mrs. Foley's baby boy, Mick Foley, is back.
Bye-bye.
And Carol Groh, who I can't remember if this is the person who was a pit reporter last year. She's okay. She's better than any of the interviewers who were on BattleBots.
There's a joke in there somewhere.
I'm about to say something, and I want to make this clear. I'm a huge Mick Foley fan. I think he's actually, in many ways, the most important wrestler of the Attitude Era, and I don't think he gets the credit he deserves. I put that caveat in when I say the following. Mick Foley is really bad. In this show, he is so lifeless.
You mean specifically this episode? Or
no, in general. He's just
in general.
Bad.
I thought there was still a couple of quips that he had that entertained me, but we'll get to those as we go on.
Occasionally, yeah, he'll bring up the... But it's stuff like, for example, when he's giving the results out, he'll do it in a really weird way. Like, he won't say who's won. He'll say, oh, this team lost. And
He doesn't even say the name of the robot. He just points at the team and goes, you guys are out. And then you're like, okay, read the shirt. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not even that he's... But it is. It's just... And also... it's a bit like Robot Wars Extreme. It's people trying to act tough and play personas when it's clear that that's not their natural state of being.
No, that's just America.
No, I'm not even meaning... okay, yes, yeah, some of it is, America. But even compared to, like, BattleBots, for example, which obviously was American, or even Robotica, you had a lot of teams who didn't put a persona on. There was a lot more of the sort of wrestlification. And again, makes sense. It was on TNN. At the time, TNN, you know, it just had ECW the year before. 2 years before. It had WWF. Then WWE on, and was their highest rated show by a long way.
WWE is literally advertised at the bottom of the screen during these episodes, so I think it might follow it.
I don't know if follow it, but it would certainly... Well, as I said, I mean, this was the second highest drawing thing on that network.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we start with our first fight with Joker. Sorry.
From Indiana, the Joker.
Which is a new robot, but I'm sure that there was a Joker in the previous season. It's a two-wheel robot with a face rotating disc. And it gets the Jobber entrance, which kind of tells you all you need to know.
Yeah. Already in the arena, the Joker. And from California. From California. Snakebite.
Wish Storm 2.
Yeah.
And not even Storm 2 with the weapon. Like, early Storm 2. Yeah.
Really bad Storm 2.
Yeah. So this is... It is a... Rambot that's not even particularly fast.
Or Rammy.
It has weapons which are... their biting fangs... which are just these tiny... They're not even the most impressive looking spikes. I mean, it's... Just, why? Why does this thing exist?
Yep. It's, like, it's so boring.
I mean, it's... Because it is the team that made Viper and Robotica.
Okay.
So, you know that even they can even do this properly.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, in this, they haven't. Also, there, when I talk about teams put on a persona, these guys are really hamming it up. They grab the mic from Carol Groh.
Yep.
And start
There's
doing
a lot
trash
of
mic talk.
Grabbing. Mm-hmm. A lot of mic grabbing in these episodes. But one of them, again, I will get to later. And their opponent, the reigning champion from Rancho. Column Bernie Panzer Mark IV.
So this is, yeah, the returning champions, Mark IV, which is now in jet black.
With hints of blue.
What?
Did I have hints
of
blue
with
as well?
Yeah, blue.
Terrible flipping arm in comparison to last year.
The weird thing is, yes, the flipper is considerably worse. That said, I would still say that this robot is one of the ones I go, yeah, but that still wouldn't look out of place in contemporary to it Robot Wars.
Yeah.
And
also. Okay. Also. It made a video game.
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure this is the version of Panzer that's in Extreme Destruction for the Xbox.
So, as a, it's always telling, because it's actually a wee bit spoiled behind the camera. If you listen to my other podcast, DCAU, this has been recorded the same day that I did Batman Soul of the Dragon. That mm-hmm. is going to be one of the easiest edit jobs in my life because we keep talking about the movie. We do not get distracted because it's a great movie. Check it out. Particularly if you like the kind of exploitation era martial arts cinema.
Ooh.
This, we are 20 minutes into recording. We've been distracted twice.
Yes, we're literally talking about future episodes that we're about to do.
Also, the bit that... Here's something that gets really weird. And it's not until... Now, we've done the first three episodes for this recording session. I don't think Matilda is in Robot Wars Extreme Season 2.
Not that I can remember.
It's not shown up at all.
Not at least these first three episodes.
Poor woman. I mean, she's not. I know she's not in the House Robot Rebellion at the end. Because I've looked through the episodes and it's Shunt, Dead Metal, and Sakae, I think. Anyway, bars. So Joker, Panzer versus Snakebite. One of these robots is competently built, and it shows. Panzer is it's like watching Peak Tornado or Storm 2, except at least Storm 2 and Tornado were facing competent opponents.
I mean, like, this is the thing, is Joker just seems to die without anyone really doing anything.
Oh, yeah, it just sets itself on fire.
Yeah. Because this is the annoying thing about this fight, is like, it doesn't last long, for a start. Mm. Nothing really happens.
It goes to the judges, so how much...
Yeah.
This went on for 5 minutes. How much of this was edited out?
A lot is the answer. But, like, even the thing is, like, it seems as if Snakebite does literally nothing in this match. But it just kind of snakes through purely on the fact that, like, Joker is struggling. Yeah. That snakes through. I didn't even mean that.
Is this... I'm just trying to remember. Is this the... No, it's an old fight of... There's a thing I need to talk about. I think it's the opening fight of the next episode.
Okay.
So, yeah. Panzer goes through, and by process of not being Joker, so does Snakebite.
We got the Mick Foley, he's interviewing the Joker team, and they say, oh, well, we got some good hits in. And then Mick was like, no, you didn't. Like, you must have been watching a different fight because you got no hits in.
Oh, Mick Foley could take on this robot.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, I love, like, when Mick Foley is just like, no, you didn't. Yeah. Like, he's not
afraid. That's the one thing. Well, to be fair, to be absolutely fair, do you really think there is anyone else in this building or in the arena outside maybe Sir Kill-A-Lot that could actually take Mick Foley in a fight?
And even then, I was still worried for Sir Kill-A-Lot.
All can decide. Foley's the toughest man in that building. Except maybe, I don't know, George Francis, I think, is one of those guys. He's that quiet, I think he could actually be secretly a badass.
Oh, he may have a rage mode that you just don't see, but, like, if you push him too far, he'll just go...
It turns out Chaos 2 wasn't a CO2 flipper. It was just George Francis punching from inside the robot.
It's like, that's why Chaos 2 is so cheap, because when George Francis gets angry, he throws it at people.
Anyway, we really should actually record the episode.
Joker was eliminated.
So, the next three robots, please.
From California, Probophobia.
Which is one of these, it's a silver wedge bot with a full body flipper, is what I'd like to call it. This is, I think, the most successful I've ever seen that design.
Yeah.
And again, actually...
I've definitely seen it a few times.
This is one of the robots I actually think, no, you could actually be in Robot Wars, maybe.
Me.
You're certainly driven well, like, enough.
Yeah, I feel like maybe like an earlier season, but yeah, I can see it.
This is also the team that fought as the Probe in Comedy Central BattleBots, which I think we saw fight.
Yeah, because you said, like, we've seen this design before, and I'm like, I was thinking, yes, it was in BattleBots. It probably is just likely the exact same robot, but just obviously name changes.
Yeah. Next up.
From Florida, Spin Doctor.
So Spin Doctor is a returning team. It is a four-wheel horizontal. The same, it is by Team Logicom, which is the Navi brothers, family, whatever. This is not the Revolutionist. This is not remotely the revolutionist.
This is giving me serious series two vibes.
Yes. It's like if season two had any robots with a proper horizontal disc, it would have looked like this.
Yeah, but the thing is, I wouldn't be surprised if Spin Doctor, this Spin Doctor, because there was actually a Spin Doctor in season two of Robot Wars.
Yes, I know. It's one of my favorite robots.
Yeah, I know. I loved that Spin Doctor. I think we gushed all over that robot when we done that episode.
Yep.
But back to the point. I think if this Spin Doctor was in season two, I think he would have potential to do pretty well.
Yeah. Anyway, there's one final robot.
From Arizona. Cyclone.
Mum, can we get Nightmare? We have Nightmare at home. Nightmare at home.
Yep.
So this is a tank robot with an enormous vertical spinning disc.
Two-wheeled vert.
Four-wheeled vert. Well, tank vert. It's a tank vert.
Well, CB on it.
To be fair, it is
four wheels.
We don't really get to find out much about it.
Yeah.
Because what happens is Probophobia charges dead face into Cyclone's weapon. Cyclone, the impact knocks out their kill switch.
Yep. Yeah.
Which is difficult for us to see because the video is not the greatest quality. But
in slow motion and you see it.
But in a rare instance of decent commentary from this commentator who literally seems to be like one of those auto-generating commentators you get in fighting video games, like wrestling video games or Robot Wars video games.
Yeah, it's just like random sentences.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it goes to show that how little I seen Cyclone that I didn't even realise it was a tank robot until you mentioned it, and then I looked out for it and went, oh, yeah. So, the first hit, the kill switch comes out, then Probophobia flips it over, and then the house robots come in. They set Cyclone up on the floor flipper, and it does the most depressing little blip floor flip that I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that? Come on. And then it was pinned.
Yeah.
So the teams are with Mick Foley in the crow's nest, and Mick points out at one point, because there's two teams that are running with doctor gimmicks, but one of them is actually a doctor. So he turns around and goes, right, that guy's actually a doctor, so let's speak to him. So he kind of leans over with a microphone, and then the dude grabs it, takes it off Mick, he says, oh yeah, I'm a doctor, not an engineer, but I play one on TV. Then he gives the mic back to Mick Foley, and then Mick goes, don't take the mic off of me again.
Yeah, you actually see Mick break character.
He says it in a kind of charming, funny way, but definitely there was a little bit of, don't do that again.
I'm a man who rolls in barbed wire for money. You think you scare me? Hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Chris and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technomax spelled TEKNOAXE. So anyway, on to the...
Sorry, I was drinking.
If you were watching this, I don't blame you. So, we get on to... Our first...
I also just want to preface that I watched all of this just before we started recording. So I watched all of this, then came on to talk to you about this, and now probably watch this again.
I mean, I'll be honest, there's only about 20 minutes of actual action in a 40-minute episode because they have no side events. Nope. And almost half the show is recaps or going to or coming back from commercial breaks.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, with the recaps, it practically shows the entire fight again.
Uh-huh. I mean, it's that weird thing of, credit to them, at least they're doing more actual coverage of the robots than BattleBots, for example. Like, everything is actually dedicated to the event.
But this could be, this could have been a very nice, snug 30-minute TV show.
Yeah.
But
that, that's
they,
the, well,
they stretched it out to an hour.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a half-hour TV show stretched into an hour. Panzer versus Spin Doctor. I've just got a comment here, and this is just the pre-match interview. I'm like, I like Panzer. I just like the Panzer team. There's that, you actually sit there and go, no, these are the only adults in the room.
They take this very seriously.
And, oh, they take this fight very seriously as well. Look, Spin Doctor, so it's even down to the stuff, Panzer immediately goes for a box rush, and they're just able to work Spin Doctor into breaking the chain, and then they do actually manage to bounce Spin Doctor over. However, Spin Doctor then solves the problem for them.
Yeah. So Spin Doctor goes and hits the pit release button, which the commentator, anytime anybody hits the pit release, the commentator's always like, some good strategy there from Spin Doctor. He's going to look to try and get Panzer in the pit. And then Spin Doctor bounces off the pit button and then just drops straight in the pit. Just straight in. Like, you see it, like, bounce off and then pivot towards the pit, and then it's like, and we're going in.
Okay. It's just the trash is taking itself out.
Oh, I wish it would do that. Mick kind of questions them afterwards, and they were like, yeah, we didn't have much of a chance after the weapon broke, and it's like, well, you did. You could have tried to get them in the pit, but you threw yourself in.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, we then move on to the second semi-final, which is Snakebite versus Probophobia. Before that, we have one of those wonderfully not annoying fake argument segments.
Ah, wonderful.
Yep.
Yeah, because, you know, they're not annoying in the UK version at all.
Nope, not at all. This is nearly panic attack-esque levels of control.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, probes where it's due, or probes where it's due. So, this match doesn't last long, and as you say, it's very panic attacky. Probophobia kind of plays about with Snakebite till he gets the probes in the right place. There's a joke in there somewhere. And then just hoists him up and just very calmly just drives around the arena, hits the pit release, and very slowly, very carefully, just dumps Snakebite down into the pit. Masterful. Masterful driving.
Yep.
You cannot take that away from them. Despite the fact how much we're kind of shitting on this episode, that bit was pretty awesome.
What I'll say is, quite frankly, this is an episode where The second you look at the six robots, the Finals Probophobia versus Panzer. Look, the second you even just look at the robots, you're like, no, those are the two that actually kind of look modern for the time.
Well, I thought Cyclone definitely had potential until it fell apart in one shot.
Yeah.
So I'd probably say Probophobia would be third on my list, but...
Anyway, so we get to the grand finale of the episode. So Panzer actually feeds Probe to Sergeant Bash early on. And then there is this really weird part where Panzer charges full force.
Yep.
At Probe, which is effectively a giant ramp.
Yeah.
Panzer nearly ooters itself.
That would have been hilarious. Dead. Because that's exactly what I wrote in my notes. It almost throws itself out of the arena.
And then, from this point, at this point, Panzer took it personally.
I almost beat me. Now I'm mad.
So, it is like watching... Do you know what it is? It's like watching peak Brock Lesnar. It is just this constant smashing to pieces to the point where Probophobia is just kind of limping along the ground.
A juggernaut, if you will.
Yeah.
Did they build Juggernaut for Robotica? Or was that another team?
No, that's another team. That's the team that made Rosie the Riveter and Tri-Terabot, who would see in this series. No, Panzer, the guys who made the Panzer 1 is Robotica, Panzer 2 is Robot Wars, Panzer 3 is Robotica, Panzer 4 is Robot Wars.
Right. Okay, so, I tried to make a fun joke connecting the dots and realize that I'm an idiot.
Let's you just realized that? it's always telling that we've actually done like 20 minutes of an episode.
Yeah.
So, eventually, Probophobia is just dumped onto the pit.
Yep.
And Panzer has the time to just casually walk over, activate the pit, and then realise, oh wait, Probophobia needs to be put in at an angle because it's too big. I wonder
if it fit.
I wondered when that was going to be brought up.
I tried to get there before you did.
So, that the champion... retains his dominance. Speaking of returning features, we have trivia.
Oh yes.
So, Panzer Mark IV's presence in the seat continued the trend seen in the UK series at the time, in which the reigning champion appeared in the first heat of the following series. The round two battle between Panzer Mark IV and Spin Doctor marked the first and only time in the original version of Robot Wars where the previous season champion and runner-up fought in the heats the following domestic championship. Spin Doctor was the second entry from Team Logicom, who had effectively finished runner-up to Panzer in season one with that other machine, the Revolutionist.
Yeah, you kind of mentioned that.
This episode effectively marked the first time in Robot Wars history in which at least two grand finalists from the previous series appeared in the same heat. The same would later occur in Dutch Series 2 and Series 9 and 10 of the UK version.
Spoilers for Dutch.
Also, this episode marks the debut of the Disc of Doom and the Drop Zone.
Yes. Yes, the Disc of Doom gets used very, very much so in these episodes.
I'm going to wait to season 6 to talk about this. I think the Disc of Doom and the Drop Zone are kind of the signs of the start of the decline of the quality of the actual TV show.
Jumping the shark?
Yes. Pretty much.
It is no Fog of War, though.
It isn't the Fog of War, okay, I'll give it that. That, however, concludes...
The Fog of War.
That, however, concludes the first episode of this new series of Robot Wars, which I'm not having any regrets about planning to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, at least we've got one good robot.
Yep, because next week we will be seeing the return of Manta.
Yes, this can't possibly go wrong.